My name's Mike Rowe, and this is my job.
I explore the country looking for people who aren't afraid to get dirty.
Before I start up the machine, I have to go inside and clear up.
I'd be happy to help you.
Oh, yeah. I know you were good for something.
Hard-working men and women who earn an honest living.
How many times a horse poop a day?
It's like 50 to 60 pounds worth.
I wish I could poop 50 pounds in a day.
Doing the kinds of jobs that make civilized life possible for the rest of us.
Now, get ready to get dirty.
Coming up on Dirty Jobs, on a wild river, I come face to face with the mighty sea lamprey.
Like salmon.
Like salmon.
Only so much uglier.
Ooh. Ooh, damn it. Lamprey just peed on me.
And later, at a shark aquarium, I get hands-on experience with squid.
You can put a squid on your finger. Have you ever done that before?
I haven't. You're the first one.
It's a big day for everybody.
Okay, so the jobs are a little fishy.
This is like some jacked-up game show.
Well, so what? The whole show's a little fishy.
So if there's some kind of incident inside, what do we do? Just run out?
Screaming.
Oh, God.
This is Mike Tuohy. We're standing here with our hands on our hips because we mean business. We're going to be doing stuff to lampreys.
Sea lampreys.
Yes, and Mike is with the Department of Wildlife.
No, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
I get it wrong every time. Didn't it used to be Fish and Game?
No.
Okay. The federal government is here in the Great Lakes region, has been for a long time, and you've been doing a very specific set of things to these sea lampreys.
That's right.
I want to learn about the things you're doing to them, but I also want to meet one up close and personal, and it looks like that's
okay.
One.
That's a sea lamprey.
This is another glove, too, so I think I will avail myself. Well, that's a nasty-looking little piece of business, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's the business end right there, the teeth.
Is that its butt or its mouth?
That's its mouth.
Man, you know it's going to... You know you're having a bad aesthetic day when the first thing you ask is butt or mouth.
So they're a very ancient fish, but well-evolved for what they do.
What do they do?
They feed off of other fish. They attach to them with that suction mouth and then use those teeth and the rasping tongue to cut a hole in the side of the fish. And quite often the fish will die.
Well, sure.
They kill over 50 pounds of lake trout in the Great Lakes in their lifetime. And there's a lot of these out there.
This is obviously why a trout has no hope.
That's right.
This one's dead.
This one's dead. This was caught by a commercial fisherman, and you can see the wound that the lamprey made on it. So we, there's a lamprey swimming in the river right there.
Let's see if I can grab it, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, we give a reward for that.
All right, I'm all about the reward.
Got him.
The slippery son of a gun. Crap. Very, very slick. Very slick.
You almost got the reward, but not quite.
Well, what was the reward?
I think we used to give fishing lures to people who brought a lamprey in.
Is this close to a lure? Okay. Well, then back to our bucket. So how long has this beautiful creature been inhabiting your lakes?
They got in to the upper Great Lakes probably in about after the 1920s when they improved a canal that gets fish around Niagara Falls.
Right, right. Now, prior to the canal being in there, Niagara Falls, I assume, was a natural barrier to this kind of thing.
Yeah,
right?
These guys couldn't get up Niagara Falls, but once they improved the shipping canals, yeah, they infested the upper Great Lakes pretty quickly, took over and decimated fish populations. We've got about $7 billion of economic activity due to the fishery up here, and once these guys got in, that was really in peril. Lots of fish species disappeared.
Are you saying that without the efforts of your organization, roughly $7 billion of total Great Lake associated revenue would simply not be present?
That's right. The people you see today are doing that work. That's correct.
Well, it's official. Mike Toohey is a very important person, and his entire organization is doing some very important work. Back to you. Who are those people back there?
Those are electrofishers.
So I put my sea lamprey microphone back into the bucket, and I set out to meet the electrofishers. Mike tells me the electrofishers' work is a small part of a big plan to eradicate the sea lamprey from the Great Lakes area.
Mike?
Margie.
Margie, right.
Lynn.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
I'm going to stand right over here.
Okay.
A thorn between two roses. Okay, so, yeah, electricity's on your back.
Yes.
And we're working in water.
Yep.
Seems weird. Why is that okay?
There's two switches. One switch puts out a pulse of electrical current in the water. So basically that tickles the larval sea lamprey out of the silt. Mm-hmm. As soon as you see them, you hit
the high pulse,
and that gives us a consistent current of 125 volts, and it just kind of stuns the lamprey in their tracks.
So we're not looking to kill them. We're looking to stun them.
Just stun them and pick them up and put them in your bucket. Mm-hmm. So we can see what's here.
So this is officially called a paddle.
Yep. This is your negative electrode.
Negative electrode, okay.
Yep, and that's your positive.
Yes.
So, I mean, do you want to buckle yourself?
If what are my options? Like, could you buckle me?
Well.
Because if I get to choose, I'm going to go ahead and have you buckle me.
Is that high enough up on your hips?
Yeah, you don't want it riding on your shoulders. It should just be... So the weight's not on your shoulders.
Not on the shoulders, on your hips.
Yeah.
Plus, you want to look good.
Yes.
Yeah. So is that good for you?
It's good for me. How was it for you?
It's pretty good.
Sweet.
So if you want to just go ahead and turn them on.
Well, I did that already.
I'll say.
Oops, you touched your paddles together?
What'd I do? Oh, crap. I'm going to die.
No, not going to die. It just turned itself off.
Okay.
And now we'll just reset it.
Don't touch the paddles.
Yep.
Daggone it. They're quick.
Yeah, they are.
Did you get him?
I got mine.
Oh, well, how about that? Man. All right. All right. Nice catch. So, the goal... is to have less lampreys in the river, in the lake.
In the Great Lakes, yeah.
So why do anything with them other than, well, kill them when you capture them?
We have multiple control methods.
Yeah.
Margie and Lynn tell me the goal of electrofishing is to determine how many baby sea lampreys are in the stream. If there's a lot, then the stream is bombarded with TFM, a poison that kills baby sea lamprey, but is harmless to everything else, including humans and other fish.
Between your legs.
Doggone it.
Got it.
You got it?
With your bare hands.
Yeah.
Show off.
TFM is an expensive chemical, so they want to get a high kill rate per gallon. That's why Margie and Lynn's electrofishing survey is important.
Wow.
They're pretty quick. There you go.
Yay, you've got one.
About time.
Oops, there's a lamprey spawning right there. Two adults.
Oh, yeah, look at them. Sucking on a whiskey bottle. I don't blame them, they just spawned. So he's digging a nest there?
Yep.
Believe it or not, sea lampreys aren't all bad. When they mate, lampreys clean out stream bed sediment.
Well, now they're mating.
And when they die after spawning, their decomposing bodies provide valuable ocean micronutrients to tiny plants and animals that live in streams.
There you go.
Not a lot of romance in the river.
But this native of the Atlantic Ocean becomes a problem when it moves to the waters of the Great Lakes, where it outcompetes the local fish.
Damn it. Lamprey just peed on me.
Or is that eggs? Those are eggs.
Oops. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just spawned all over me.
Yep.
Bad fish. No, there's nothing there.
No, they're very tiny. You can see.
Kind of on your
they're
arm
very.
Hair.
Really? I have tiny lamprey eggs on my arm hair?
Yep.
It's another sentence I didn't think I'd ever utter. So that's stage two?
Yes. adult assessment.
Adult assessment. All right, so we've captured our larvae, and now we're going to go assess the adults.
Yes.
It's going to be up here by the truck. I'm going against the current. Might take a while.
Coming up.
They might get a little feisty, too.
Well, why wouldn't they?
I learn why male sea lampreys have great pride.
A male gets gonad from one end to the other.
Oh, dear. Troy, there's something on your lens.
And later, in Las Vegas, I play the hottest new game on the strip. A little thing called Drop the Dead Fish in the Blender.
Oh, look at that. You can drop right in.
It's surprising, stinky, and fun for the whole family.
So we're back now at the, what's this called, Mike?
This is a barrier on the Aquiac River.
At the Aquiac River barrier, and you're Sarah?
Yeah.
Sarah?
Ryder.
Sarah Ryder. What do you do here?
I am a biological science technician, and I check the trap.
So this is obviously a lamprey trap?
This is a trap. And so what happens, lampreys swim up the river. They got one thing left to do in life, and that's spawn.
Like salmon.
Like salmon.
Only so much uglier.
So much uglier and more harmful to the Great Lakes.
Yes.
But so when they get here, they encounter this barrier. The barrier we built to stop them from infesting the upper river. They can't jump over that, whereas some other jumping species like salmon can. And so they look for holes. We've provided a couple here that are actually a trap. They swim into that trap and they're captured.
We are going to remove the lampreys from the lamprey trap.
That is correct.
And then we're going to take them somewhere.
Yep, to the sterile male facility.
We're going to sterilize them.
We're going to sterilize the males. There's males and females in here, but we were going to sort those back at the lab.
Okay.
But Sarah's going to show you what to do. You're going to climb right in there with all hundreds of lampreys.
That sounds super. Sarah, after you. Now, obviously, I'm going to step on a few of these.
Yep, tread lightly.
All right, lampreys, I'm coming in.
They might get a little feisty, too. So.
Well, why wouldn't they? Okay. Troy, there's something on your lens. Sorry, Doug. Do you have any affection for these things when you think of them?
Not really.
Nah, me either. Okay.
Okay. So we'll put these away, and now you can climb out of the trap.
Sounds good. Look at them all stuck to the side.
The lampreys we captured are now on their way to the Hammond Bay Biological Center, where the mysteries of adult sea lamprey population control will finally be revealed to me.
We will now take these out and put them somewhere?
We're going to take the animals out, but we're going to have to do a couple of things. One, we're going to run them through this device here. It's a tag detector. Some larvae and adult lampreys out in the lake at various times have been tagged with a tiny little sliver of metal that is etched with a code at various times and released to give us information on their habits and so on. Very helpful in trying to figure out how to best control them. And so about maybe one in every 1,000 lampreys might have one of these tags in it. We then have to sort the animals by gender. So the males are going into the building to sterilize. We can't walk them in. We're going to shoot them through that cool little tube there. The females we'll put in this tank right here.
What will they do?
We use them for research. The ones that we don't use in research go to biological supply houses. They provide them to educational institutions for dissection and so on.
We're not doing any dissecting today?
We're not looking at its digestive system or anything like that.
I am curious. I wouldn't mind having a look at that.
Actually, there's not much in there. At this point, they stopped feeding, and their digestive system has all atrophied. It's gonad from one end to the other.
Oh, dear. Wall-to-wall gonad?
Wall-to-wall gonad, yeah.
Where's digestive... The gonad's in the digestive system, or it's
the
just...
The entire body cavity has been filled up with either eggs or sperm, and there's no digestive tract left.
There's no room for food because...
They don't eat anymore. They're living off the lipids that they've accumulated over the previous 18 months.
Their passion. They're living off their passion.
That's right.
Weird. Okay. Shall we? Or shall I? Whose were these?
I don't know, but they look good on you.
No, man, I think these are Sarah's. These are extraordinarily feminine. But they do work. And polarized is nice. All right, so...
Isn't that right there?
Scoop and dump.
Yes.
Sea lampreys are sometimes called lamprey eels, but they are not related to the eel family at all. Unlike eels, lampreys have no bones, no jaws, no paired fins. They also lack a sympathetic nervous system, a spleen, and scales. They are an ancient fish that resembles fossils 350 million years old.
So here's what we're doing. Sorting them by gender. So grab one, and you feel the belly.
Mm-hmm.
A male feels nice and firm.
Yes.
You can feel that midline muscle separation.
I do.
The female, you can see that muscle separate those lines.
Yep.
Those are called myomeres. Plus, when you feel the belly, see how it's sort of roly-poly?
Very squishy.
And we go at it.
Then
every now and then, we have to put them in some water, because they don't like to be out of the water any longer than they have to be.
Sure. Off to be sterilized. And male.
Yes.
Oh. Is that a
beeper? Let's see if I pulled the right one out of there. That's it.
All right. So he's got a... Whoa. It's like a pit tag?
There's a tag. No, it's much smaller than a pit tag. It's just a sliver.
Uh-huh.
And so we'll put that in a bag, take it down, and you and Bill can cut it out of that.
Oh, super.
A little later on.
All right.
Coming up, turns out a dead lamprey can be the life of the party.
You try that.
I got paid for this.
I was just about to ask you. You're Bill?
Hello.
Mike.
Nice to meet you.
When things go beep, Bill gets involved, or at least that's what Mike tells me. Why is it important to retrieve the little thing?
Well, this is part of a study that I was conducting for a number of years. Four and 5 years ago, I collected a large number of larvae, like you might have gotten with the electrofisher earlier in the day, and injected them with coated wire tags and then released them in various streams. And we're getting them back now as spawning phase animals.
Yeah.
And by recovering those animals and the tags, I'm able to tell where they were tagged, when they were tagged, where we released them, what size they were when we released them, what streams they've come back to, and how many years it was before they metamorphosed and became parasitic.
How big's this tag?
Not real big. Here's the one from this critter right here.
Where?
It's like this hyphen.
It's that under the tape?
That's under the tape.
That's what we're looking for?
That's what you're looking for.
Good grief.
But they've actually laser etched them with numbers.
So how do you get it?
We use single edge razor blades.
All right.
And the tag itself has been, let me put this up here so that it's out of the way. I'd hate to lose my previous data.
Right, and I don't want to, mess up your, clearly you've got a codified, organized system going on.
Well.
Down here in the lab. What's this?
That is the coated wire tag detector.
Oh.
It's a big magnetometer is what it is.
So you want me to begin slicing?
Just slice it in half to start with.
Now we're going to run it through here to see which half it's in.
You just pick it up and wave it through.
It's in this half.
The best thing to do now, since we know which side it's in, you just cut that in half and repeat the process. I got paid for this.
I was just about to ask you. You've been doing this for 26 years.
Well, last year I didn't get paid for it. I just did it. I volunteered to do this.
Well, sure. How can you leave all this?
Yeah. And that's a good sign that it is in there.
This is like some jacked up game show.
Monty Hall, I believe, was.
That's right. That's just me rocking stuff.
That's just rocking the boat.
I've been doing that for years, Bill.
Very good.
You try that. Yeah, sure, I make it look easy because I have experience. Here we go. Nothing to see in there. How many of these have you done, you reckon?
Oh,
in your 26 years. To the nearest million.
Well, it's probably upwards of 1,000 at this point.
Say, Doug, you're messing up my game. That's it. No touchy. It's in there somewhere. Someone's leaning on my counter.
You're not there yet.
You don't have a magnifying glass, do you?
No, of course not. That would be too easy.
Ooh, smell that. It's in there. I see it.
In fact, you're right. You do see it.
What do we do with it when we get it?
Well, we put it over on that sheet of paper and stick a piece of tape over it.
Is that it on the end of my razor?
That is it.
Coming up, you didn't tell me there was this level of precaution. I mean, this is Ebola stuff. A Dirty Jobs toxic nursery rhyme.
It's so simple a child could do it.
This little fishy goes to the market.
There you go.
This little fishy gets a needle stuck in his gut. And this little fishy goes wee, 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 all the way to the emergency exit. I'm sure it's all perfectly safe.
You did that, Mike.
And later, in Las Vegas, I find it takes a very special person to be chef to the sharks.
Cutting up rotten, smelly fish and feeding them to sharks is better than dealing with people any day.
Definitely.
So we're here at the microscope station.
Yes.
There must be a better name for it than that.
None that I ever came up with.
Okay. And we've got to somehow figure out how to get this microscopic speck under here so we can see it on a monitor and hopefully read it.
Correct.
What should I do?
Now you got to slice into the tape.
So do I peel the scotch tape back?
No.
Pull the whole tape up?
No, just try.
Kind of gut it. Obviously, I'm going to take some of the paper, too.
Not if you do it right.
Oh, no. Well, that's not going to be done right.
That looks like you got it loose. Just put your finger on top of it. If you take this and hold it up next to it, it should latch onto it. That's pretty close. Let's put it underneath and see if we can read it.
There you go. Oh, that has
goo.
Oh, yeah.
We may not be able to read this. No, there is one that's cleaned.
Oh, I'd look at a clean one. Where's that?
Well, first we'll have to put this one back on the sheet, which means I'll have to go get some tape.
Okay.
Use that
to put it back.
And that's it. And you go back to your little magnetic pencil.
Whoops. It's a super, super magnetic.
And I'll have to run off and get some more tape when we're done, but I'll do that.
At some point, I know, Bill, your scientific mind is going to conclude that having the tape dispenser here would be an amazing time saver. There you go. What's that little bit of schmutz on the end there?
Well, it's probably off of the tape. But you can see there's 05, mm-hmm. 18, 74. The 05 indicates that it's Fish and Wildlife Service. And the 1874 is the batch. I go over here to my handy dandy little readout sheet, which is right here. And if we run down the, let's see, the tag code, it's 05-1874. It's a batch tag. I tagged 783 of them. Released them in the Pine River, 6 to 7 July.
July of last year?
Of 2005.
2005?
And
good
grief. So this one didn't metamorphose until either the fall of 2008 or the spring of 2009 and has come back to spawn in 2010.
Thanks. I don't know what I'm going to do with my newfound knowledge, but I'm going to go reflect upon all I've learned.
It's a lot of fun.
And leave you with your life's work.
Well, thank you.
As you were.
I've retired, so I'm turning it over to someone else. But
you know, this show's eventually going to end, and when it does, it's good to know Dave has some options. I'm leaving now.
Wow. That was involved. Now I'm off to sterilize some male lampreys. How complicated can that be?
Well, there it is.
You didn't tell me there was this level of what do you call it? Precaution. I mean, this is Ebola stuff.
Well, we're very careful with it. It's a chemosterilant. It's a bit of a bad actor, and we want to protect you.
Well, I'm well acquainted with bad actors. Zach? Pat?
Right.
All right. I guess most of my questions can wait till we're actually doing the work, because I can't even imagine how the chemical is applied. Would we rub it on it, or what?
You inject it.
Inject it?
Yep, there's an injector here in the injection room.
Well, you would think. I mean, if you're going to put an injector anywhere.
Yeah, Mike, we use a piece of robotics to protect the workers from the chemosterilant and to provide a certain measure of quality assurance.
So if there's some kind of incident inside whereby the efficacy of our safety protocol is suddenly compromised, what do? Just run out?
Screaming.
Got it.
That looks complicated.
It looks complicated.
But it's not.
No.
It's so simple a child could do it. No one likes to be sterilized. Put him in here first, wave.
Yep. As soon as you hear that vacuum kick on, you're good.
Upside down?
Upside down, tail first. This will happen sometimes.
Now what?
Now you gotta mess with that thing.
Where'd he go?
That tube shoots out through the wall. It goes into one of these tanks.
There you go. Quick little needle. It goes in. And there she goes. Just like that.
The injected chemical sterilizes the sea lamprey so they can't reproduce. But otherwise, the lamprey is unharmed.
There we go.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. You... Reset.
There are about 25 species of sea lamprey, 13 of which can be found in the U.S. Sea lampreys lack bones, a jaw, and scales. They were a major cause of the collapse of lake trout, whitefish, and chub stock in the Great Lakes in the 1940s and 1950s.
So the captured sea lampreys have been sterilized, and now we're moving them outside, where somehow we're going to mark them.
That's good.
All right.
Yeah.
Is this the time to decontaminate? Decontaminating.
All right, should be good.
Friends are for.
So they've been sterilized. Now they're in this holding tank, and we're going to shave them, was it?
Yeah, one last thing we have to do is mark them so that if they get recaptured in a trap someplace, our crew knows they're a good lamprey, not a bad lamprey.
Okay.
Before we shave them, there's just one odd thing I should show you, Mike.
What's that?
And that is, lampreys are pretty excitable. I know you've worked with shark repellents. In this case, lampreys are excitable and avoid other substances as well. And we're working towards a repellent for lampreys. Be very useful in the control program.
Sure.
But spit into this tank.
Just spit?
Yeah, give it a good honker.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That's because of my spit?
You did that, Mike. What have you been eating, man?
Very bad things, Mike. Wow. Well, explain that.
Well, we don't really know. We're studying it now, especially to see if we can find a way to reproduce other than having, like, everybody spit into a jar every day and use it.
I mean, that's fascinating. Why not get people spitting in jars?
We think if we can find the specific compound that is affecting them, we can probably produce that in a better way than having everybody stand around and spit. We also find some people's spit works better than other people's.
How's that? Dave, you spit in there.
Okay, mix it in.
5, 4, 3, 2...
You annoyed the hell out of the one.
Okay. Fascinating. So, to the shaving.
Lamprey shaving party. By the way, this is Jake Nichols.
Hi, Jake.
He's a lamprey shaving expert, and he's going to show you the
congratulations
technique
here. On that.
I just turn it upside down and run the dorsal fin through.
Oh, and the dorsals fall right in the bucket there.
The dorsal fin is shaved to identify the lampreys that have been sterilized. If they're recaptured at a later date, the Fish and Wildlife Service will know at a glance that these fish have already been fixed.
You ready for a race?
No.
Okay.
No, but yeah, why not? No, you know what? I'm not going to race. This is just too weird a race to have, unless you guys have them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the champion. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
The sea lamprey actually has two dorsal fins. Cutting off one of them doesn't hinder its ability to swim or survive in the wild.
So they're going to get in there, they're going to fight for the mate, and then if they win, they will do what they do, but they'll be firing blanks.
Yep. So after all the handling these have gone through, you've seen how many times we handle each lamprey. This is worse than cutting firewood. you know, and they still look pretty vigorous.
Yeah. Oh, I'll say.
So we're expecting them to be fully competitive once they get in the river to fight for a mate, and they do have to fight for a mate. More sterile males, fewer viable progeny.
So in the back of the truck, we've got hundreds that are ready for a, what would you call it, reassimilation?
Reassimilation, that's right.
Putting these shaven, sorted, robo-injected predators back into the stream marks the final phase of a comprehensive process to eradicate sea lampreys.
Why don't we do it again?
And the work goes on. Mike Toohey and his team will continue releasing sea lampreys back into streams until every last stream is free of sea lampreys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And remember, next time you're in Great Lakes territory and you spot a sea lamprey, spit at it for me. Coming up. Live from the stainless steel kitchen room in glamorous Las Vegas, the premiere of my new extravaganza, A Man and His Bongo Drum.
We're mixing.
You need the hurry.
So what you're saying is shut up and pour the hot water.
Well, tough audience in Vegas.
People stop me all the time and they say, Mike, what is your favorite part of Dirty Jobs? And my answer is always the same thing. I say that my favorite part of Dirty Jobs is that part of Dirty Jobs that starts right after we stop shooting Dirty Jobs, which is where you found us right now. Typically, the guys and I try and find a likely space and belly up to some sort of barn, enjoy a frosty beverage, and reflect upon the events of the day. Of course, my second favorite part of Dirty Jobs is the people I meet. The people I meet on this show are so much fun because they're all great to talk to. And my theory is they're great to talk to because they listen. Some, of course, listen better than others. Mandy is somebody I met a couple of years ago and you haven't had a chance to meet. I met her in Las Vegas. She was working at a place called the Shark Reef, which is an aquarium. And, well, to make a long story short, Mandy was fun to talk to, but not because she hung on every word I said. In fact, if she was listening at all, it was only with one ear.
Hi, Mandy.
Hi.
What's that in your ear, by the way?
My radio.
I'm not fascinating enough for you. You've got to listen to music while we talk.
I listen to music all day.
Okay, good for you.
Music lover Mandy prepares fish food for the residents of the Shark Reef Aquarium, located inside the Mandalay Bay Casino. One of Mandy's top fish food entrees is squid.
Let's talk about the squid for a second, Mandy.
Okay.
Shall we? Looks a lot like the finger on my rubber glove.
It does, doesn't it?
I mean, that's amazing. You can put a squid on your finger. Have you ever done that before?
I haven't. You're the first one.
It's
who's
a big
done
day
that
for everybody. You're going to tell me you don't sit down here when things get slow, and you don't take the squid, and you don't make a special glove hand with them?
I have never done that.
Well, you know what your problem is? You just don't know how to enjoy your food. It's never occurred to you to put some squid on your fingers?
Not one.
Teach his own, I suppose. You know, it's kind of fun. I love it when I'm working to have all my bosses standing outside looking through the window like that. Isn't that cool?
It's great.
It's so peaceful. What'd you do before this?
I was a busser in room service.
Huh. How does this compare?
It's much better.
This is better? Cutting up rotten, smelly fish and feeding them to sharks is better than dealing with people any day.
Definitely.
You said it, not me. What about all this stuff over here? This looks great.
We're gonna make meat gel.
Meat gel, good. Now I'm gonna take a wild guess, but meat gel is made by throwing these ingredients into the wheeled blender and then hitting a button?
It is. Now just pour it in slowly when I make.
When you what? When you say go?
Mandy telepathically tells me to go, so I shake the powdered gelatin into the cold water. Once this is mixed with hot water and blended fish, it'll create a kind of fish jello.
This is a great job. I'm pouring gelatin. Binding agent. Mandy's mixing. We're a team. If you want to switch up, just let me know.
I'm okay.
We're mixing. All right.
Now we're going to need that boiling water over there.
Boiling water. That would be that stainless steel pot with all the steam coming off.
That would be it.
I'll get it.
Now you get to stir.
Now stir what? Stir the water? That seems senseless.
Actually, pour the hot water in here.
Okay. Just tell me again what this is.
This is gelatin, unflavored gelatin. Okay. Just like you would use in Jell-O.
Right. And ultimately, the gelatin, it's going to combine with the meat shake?
It is.
And then it's going to go in the boiling water. And what's the finished product called again?
Meat gel.
A meat gel, of course. It's like haggis. Or hay cheese.
You need to hurry.
We need to hurry. It's getting sticky. Okay. So what you're saying is shut up and pour the hot water. Got it. Can't see it then.
Now mix the catfish fillets in.
What's the magic word, Mandy?
Please. Or now.
So I'm mixing catfish pellets into the meat liquid, the liquidy meat thing. Mandy's pouring in the gelatinous mass as I stir up the meaty broth. If all goes as planned, some additional hardening will occur, and we'll have ourselves a big old tub of homemade meat gel.
Go ahead and pour them into the tray.
Pour the meaty gel onto the tray, all right?
Do it slowly.
Magic word?
No.
You're not big on the magic word, are you? Okay, right, because it's hardening right now.
It's going
right?
to harden.
All right. So far, would you say I've been more of a help or a hindrance to you today?
Most people that try to help me are a hindrance.
So, you're very jolly, in spite of the fact that I've slowed you down.
Are you going to clean the floors for me?
Well, sure, I always clean the floors. The trays were overloaded with meat gel. That's the problem.
But when it's all said and done, it's going to look like this.
That's what we're shooting for?
Yeah. We cut it up into little pieces.
Absolutely dreadful. If you're sitting at home and you're thinking about whipping up a batch of meat gel, passing it out to the kids, don't do it. Don't do it. Dave's been shooting free throws for a while now in an attempt to inspire you to go to discovery.com/dirty jobs. He's going to keep attempting to get the ball through the basket until somebody goes to discovery.com/dirty jobs and suggests our next dirty adventure. Thank you. Last one for all the marbles. Make it count. Pressure's on. And, oh, a close one. Please, won't you help? discovery.com/dirty jobs. That's much better.
Really good looking, yeah.
This changes everything, man.
Polarizes.
I put these on, you seem mild-mannered, even-tempered. Troy seems nourished.
So how's it? You're just going to ask me questions?
No, we're going to. It's going to be a total mind meld. We won't be talking. We won't be using our voices, okay. But merely it'll be a three-minute conversation with facial tics, grunts.
Good. Say something interesting. I dare you.
typically, it never happens.